talk about some time today. We've gone through Easter. We did some timelines there. He rode into town, and Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all the things happened, and he arose on Sunday morning, and we're going to talk about a little bit of time today. So what time is it now? You know, we've gone through that week. We've gone through what Christ did. You know, we really get stuck on time sometimes. Get stuck on times, you know. See all these ads, you know, for a limited time only. You know, time is limited. Act fast. Of course, that commercial runs about every day, you know, and you got a limited time until we show this again tomorrow and then next day. But act fast. You know, some people say, well, time's not on my side. Time's not on my side. You know, we even deal so much in time, we look at timetables. We have charts set up. We have timetables we look at. We have wasted time. You know, we're either wasting or killing time. We don't have a lot of time to spend to kill it off, okay? You never hear of anybody, I'm making time. Well, I guess you do say we're making time, but we don't grow time. We don't birth time. We can't get any more of it. We can only lose it. We're spending time, which denotes it costs something. You know, if we're spending it, it's coming from a source. You know, sometimes, well, the timing isn't right. Now it's not the time. Or now is the time. We have a lot of times. Time to go to bed, time to get up. Timeouts can be good or bad. Kids get a timeout for not doing the right things. Sometimes if the game isn't going well, we need a timeout. Sometimes we just need a timeout to take a breath. Macy and her group playing in the band, they have to keep in time. If they don't keep in time, it's all out of whack. It doesn't sound right. It's not together. We try to save time. We have daylight savings time. It doesn't give us another hour. It doesn't make 25 hours in the day. But it gives us a little more daylight. And then sometimes people actually say we have too much time on our hands. That's rarely the case. If you get to that point, you're probably going to get in trouble and need to time out. So shouldn't have too much time on your hands. So, you know, time is precious. It truly is. It's how we spend it and who we spend it with. And sometimes we sort of lose our purpose while we're wrapped up in time and things going on. And we lose understanding of what time is and how valuable it is. We're going to read from Romans 13, 11 through 14 to start off. It's a little preview of Bible study Wednesday, if you can make it. But it says, Paul is just talking about, love others and that how that fulfills the law. But then he goes into, and do this, understand the present time. Understand the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, but not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Well, again, Paul is just talking about loving one another and how it fulfills the law. And he starts here by saying we need to understand the present time we're in. We need to know what's happening now. You know, we need to understand time. We need to live in today. You know, we let time get taken from us by thinking about regrets of things we did, or maybe regrets of things we didn't do. You know, I wished I would have. But that opportunity's gone. Okay? Things have changed. Or I regret that I... And then you can fill in your own blank. We've all got something to put in there. I regret that I... But that choice was already made. in the past. To change it now is at the bad, difficult, and at the worst, impossible to change. It's already happened. We've already made a decision. We've already made a choice. So we can't change the past. We can just look at here and now. Then if it's not the past we're thinking about, we get a little anxiety over the future. Try to time out all the different scenarios and what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. And then we worry about those things. And then they're in our mind. We're worrying about the future. Someone said that life is what happens to you while you're making plans to do something else. How many times has that happened to you? You're making plans, you're getting schedules put out, and then what do we say? Life happens. Life happened. It changed those things. So life does happen while you're making plans, so the plans won't stay in place. You know, Paul says to wake up. And he says so because our salvation time is nearer than you think. Salvation's past, present, and future. It exists in all of those times. But he's saying, you know, it's nearer than you think, the one to come, because that's the time of knowing the fullness of salvation when Christ comes, when Christ returns. We keep thinking it's a long way off, when it's closer than we think. Again, it's not just past, what happened to us. We were saved. It's present. We are saved. We should think about that and consider using our time wisely and what we use it on. And then the future there. We will be in the fullness of salvation when he returns. But he says, wake up. Don't be sleeping in life. And don't waste the time we have. Time is limited. You can't make more of it. You're not guaranteed how much you have. We don't have an unlimited supply. Sometimes we think, I never run out. But you will. That we need to make the most of every opportunity we have. We said before, how do we spend it? And how do we use it? Well, again, it's spending means you're using up resources. You know, if you're spending, it's costing you something else to put those energy and resources into that. So it depends on how we use it, how we spend it. Time has feelings. It can either feel long or it can feel short. You ever go to a movie? It's really bad. Really bad. I thought that would never end. Or when it's really good, you might think, well, that didn't seem like it lasted very long. That was a short movie. It's probably the same length. It's just the time you spent on it. Was it a good time or was it a bad time spent? Sports is the same way, you know. Randy goes to baseball games and everybody has games and stuff, you know. That was a great game. That went pretty fast. That was fun. Then you have those that don't turn out to be so great. And that was the longest game ever. It was the same time limit. The innings might have changed in baseball, but football you play a certain amount of time. So the time's the same. It's just your perspective. And whether it was good, whether it was bad. And we waste a lot of time. So much time. You know, we let Satan steal a lot of time. Let him take it from us. You know, think of the time spent with people in bars and casinos. Let alone spending time gossiping and spreading rumors. All that's not time well spent. It's not productive time. And we don't use time wisely because we overload ourselves with stuff. You know, we commit to things. Some good, some bad. I'm not saying it's bad to commit to things. But they all take part of our time when we make commitments. We take a lot of time on possessions we have, either wanting them, taking care of them, or letting them have priority over other things. You know, we let stuff take over. Then there's work. It's always going to be work. You know, the time we have to set aside to provide for ourselves and others. You know, maybe we have to work overtime. Maybe we have to work weekends to get what we want. Then the time we spend, we'll just say information. You know, the time we spend on television and internet and social media and listening to radio. So much time is spent on those things. But are the items that we're looking at or listening to, are they really important? A lot of good things take up time. You know, good things are watching your kids or your grandkids do sports and music and all the things they're in, and scouts and clubs, and those are all good things. But sometimes all those good things can fill up all of our time. You know what busy means, right? You know what busy, B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke. Gets us so busy, we lose focus, we lose track of time, we lose what our time can be used for because we're so busy that all this stuff, even good things, take up all of our time. You know, he says, get out of the darkness and into the day. I think he's saying, get your act together. Get cleaned up. Grow up. Get dressed up. You know, we've all got dark sides. Moses had a dark side. David had a dark side. Noah had a dark side. Paul had a dark side. Everyone has a dark side to them. But they changed and closed themselves. And notice how he puts it, the Lord Jesus Christ. He uses all three names. He uses the Lord. Is he the Lord? Is he the boss? Is he control your life? Jesus, as we got to know him as a man, fully God. And then Christ, our Redeemer, the paid price. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure he says time better spent considering heavenly things. You know, how's time? Is it really to think about all the past things? So what might happen in the future, or future sort of eternally? We need to think about eternal things. We have disagreements. Mary and Martha had a disagreement. Okay. Jesus arrived. One thought that work on hand was more important. And that work needed to be completed. And needed to be completed now. One thought spending time in the presence of Jesus was a little better. I'm granted, some work needs to be done. There is a time to do work. But at what cost? You know, we put things in the way. Which is more important? Do we get busy and lose track of God? You know, we get stuck in the now and the stuff we need or want to do versus the eternal or even the current relationships we have. And we miss out on those things because we don't take the time. Ephesians 5, verses 11 through 17. Says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed to the light becomes visible, and everything is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, again, we need to be aware of what time it is. It's time to come out of the darkness. It's time to be in the light. It's time to live as God would have us live. We need to live in His will, because everything's going to be made known. There's going to be a time that everything in our life is going to be exposed. The good, the bad, the ugly. It's going to be, He already knows, but it's going to be exposed. And you know, we've been asleep too long. You know, the church has been asleep too long. You know, sleeping that allowed Roe v. Wade in the first place. They're sleeping that allowed that God wasn't allowed in schools. Didn't need God in schools. Need to keep Him out. You know, is asleep when schools can teach and allow whatever they want, including gender choice and readings by people you really wouldn't want reading to your child, and ideals that are less than what we hope for. And I know things are changing a little bit in that area, but if we had not been asleep, they might not have come about in the first place. A lot of it's because families don't spend time with kids. You know, the kids aren't as important as things they want to do. They don't spend the time. We don't really take the time to really know what's going on. You know, news is a good thing. It informs us. But sometimes we don't really look at the true news, what's happening. And then most are too busy with their own things to care. Their time's taken up by what they want to do. They don't have time to be involved. Where is time spent? We've talked about some of it, but you can generally answer that by what's most important in your life. If I asked what's most important in your life, hopefully we have some answers that God's most important in my life. Hopefully we have those answers today. You know, Gale Sayers was a... Tom knows Gale Sayers anyways. Everybody else may not. But he was a running back for the Chicago Bears. Late 60s. Tore up a knee, didn't play too many years, but he was really good. He wrote a book a long time ago. I remember it was called I Am Third. And I am third because God was first. My family was second. And then He put Himself third. He had priorities right. That's where He spent the time. You know, what's most important in your life affects all of your time. Affects your schedules. Affects your priorities. Affects your relationships. And your time and effort given for those all hinge on what's first in your life. You know, Sunday, what comes first? You can pass a lot of people as you come to church. To some people, church is first. God comes first. To some, it's golf. To some, it's a ball game. You know, I thought it had gotten as bad as it could until last weekend, the league that my 8-year-old grandson plays basketball in scheduled basketball on Easter Sunday. Bad. You know, Wednesday, is it Bible study or is it something else? Do you even leave time for prayer and Bible study on your own through the week? You know, obviously we'll all have to spend time working and providing, and sometimes we put that first. You know, there is I think it's hard on, I will say guys maybe, because there's something that God put in us to provide. So sometimes it's hard not to put that first sometimes. The time has to be spent with kids and spouses and grandparents. You know, a lot of people have a date night. A lot of people have a game night. Even the family meals. allows you to get together, spend time. Those relationships. And all those relationships are not only important, they're biblical. God wants those. He ordained those relationships. You know, sometimes we change the book name. You know, I am first. And I'll make time for God and family with what I have left. So look at how you choose to spend time this week in your life, and you might have an indication of the importance of things in your life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5. He says, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Those sound like pretty terrible days. Sound a lot like today. We just talked down by us. There's pockets, there's groups, there's kids coming together. There's a revival, so to speak, happening in different areas. But you got to pray for those things to happen, because these other things are happening. And they're happening now. As he said, don't think the Lord's coming's too far off. Salvation is nearer than you think. We don't know when, but it's not far off. I want to read Matthew 25, 1 through 13. And then we're going to have an invitation song. But Matthew 25, 1 through 13, you've heard it. It's the parable of the 10 virgins. It says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in the jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself. But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. And the virgin who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. You know, we all need to know the time we live in, what's coming. But be ready, be prepared. We need to be ready. 10 virgins with lamps. You know, we can look at that. 10 professing Christians. 10 people that profess to be waiting on the bridegroom. The bridegroom's Christ. The oil is generally a symbol of the Holy Spirit. You know, someday we'll hear the shout that the bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom's here. Jesus has come. Don't be asleep when he comes. Don't be a sleeper and depend on religion or works or ceremonies. Not what it's about. Five of them had oil. They had the Holy Spirit. They were ready. Five of them didn't. They didn't have the oil, the Holy Spirit. And you know what? When he came, they realized it. They realized. Looked at the others. We need what you have. We need what you have. Of course, we can't give the Holy Spirit out. We can share Him, but that's up to God. God gives out the Holy Spirit based on acceptance of Jesus Christ. Those that were ready with the Holy Spirit went into the banquet. But the door was shut for those who did not and weren't ready. So I ask you this, to know the time. Be ready. Spend your time wisely. Determine how and who to spend your time on by knowing what's most important in your life. Answer that. See where you spend your time. And then see what's most important in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Paul and the many books that he wrote for us, Lord. And the example of a changed man. That you changed into something much greater than he thought he was. Lord, we just ask you to be with us, Lord, as we consider time and the times we're in and how precious time is. And we don't know how much is given to each one of us, but we do have a set amount of time in your kingdom, in your timeline, to do what you would have us to do. Lord, have us not waste it. Have us not use it on things not of you, Lord, that is lost in relationships that we don't have or we don't keep or we don't make use of. Lord, you've called us to be in relationships. Relationships with you. Relationships with parents and grandparents and kids. You're all about relationships. Started out Paul talking about love and how it fulfilled the law. So Lord, let us consider that when we consider how we use our time. Just realize how precious it is, how little of it there is, and that you are coming back and this will all end sometime. Lord, we pray for those that don't know you. We pray for those that we aren't being an example to by how we use our time. But Lord, teach us. Forgive us when we fail. But Lord, just show us what's important in our life. Give us realization. Lord, we just ask that our lives constantly just lift you up, build you up, and that are used in our relationship with you. We thank you, we praise you, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.